Listening Dog Media.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Offside Rule with Lindsay Hooper and Natasha Dowie.
Later on this year, a brand new league is launching in the US called the USL Super League. And I don't think many people know that this is coming into play. So what I've done is I've used my contacts book from the World Cup, spoken to Sarah Ash, got her from America to join us to discuss everything about this new league, what it means. Sarah, so good to see you again. And also congratulations on all the work that you're doing. A great time for me to plug your podcast, The Women's Soccer Show, which I love to dip in and out of and keep across what's going on over in the States. But also you've been doing lots of play-by-play commentary as well.
I have. Thank you so much. It's good to see you. And I think I already mentioned before we hit record, unfortunately, the last time I saw you was the World Cup, but better times right now. Yeah. Thank you again for having me. I love being on. I also dip into this podcast here and there. And yeah, I've been doing a lot of work with the Women's Soccer Show and play-by-play actually for the USLW League, which I think we'll talk about here as we talk about the Super League.
Yes. So first of all, for anyone who's been under a rock, although I don't think it's their fault, I don't think there's been that much publicisation around this, but a brand new league is launching. Now, over in the States, the important thing to note here is the Division One league status. And so just explain to us what that means, that there will be two existing leagues within a calendar year, basically.
So the Division One league status just really means that this is going to be a professional league and a fully professional league. So essentially, think about the NWSL. It will be equivalent to the NWSL. The calendar for the USL Super League, however, will be a little different. They don't really like to say that they're mirroring the European calendar. They like to say that they align with the international calendar. So they will kick off the USL Super League in August. They'll play through the fall and then they'll break for the snowy months, if you will. And then they'll pick back up in the spring and then they will break for the summer. And they've put out a lot saying that they think this is not only good for players, but mainly it's good to mirror the international calendar because all of the wear and tear that we've seen on players so far going in and out of country, and especially when you look at the NWSL, I mean, it runs over the summer. These players last summer were going from club into the World Cup and immediately jumping back right into the middle of the season. So they think that with this calendar, it hopefully will make life a little bit easier for the players.
So if any country was going to launch two professional leagues, it was going to be the US. You are way ahead in terms of where you're at with women's soccer. I know the NWSL is celebrating a 12th anniversary year. I know there were a couple of incarnations prior to that that failed, but really it's been quite steady now for 12 seasons in 2024. So what has the reaction been like over there to having two leagues? I mean, it's a huge country. I'm sure there's plenty of players and coaches and things like that available, but is there some competition for viewership?
That's a great question. And honestly, I think when the news broke of the Super League about a year ago and that they were going to create this thing called the Super League that lives under the USL and that it would be Division One status, mainly if it wasn't positive feedback, what people were saying were that they were concerned that this was going to draw viewership away from the NWSL, that this was going to draw fans who are going to NWSL games away. And with a league that's still developing, I mean, you mentioned how long the NWSL has been around, but it really is still in a developmental state. There are only 14 teams right now. And for a US league, that's really not a lot for how big this country is. A lot of the criticism was that people thought that this might take away from the NWSL. And I actually think quite differently, actually. On the contrary, what this will do is provide a lot more space for development of the full pipeline in this country. And I think that looks a lot of different ways. First of all, of course, on the field. We'll start with the fact that the NWSL, as we mentioned, it's only 14 teams. It's only in 14 markets. That leaves a ton of other markets that just simply don't have a professional women's soccer team. And they saw an opportunity growth and a gap, and they took it. And that's where they will be plugging in for the USL Super League. It's not to come into the exact same cities that the NWSL is in and completely rival those. It's a different calendar. It's different markets. And on top of that, as we talk about the development of the game in this country, the NWSL exists almost in a vacuum. It exists by itself. There's not really a system, a developmental system that goes along with it. And what the USL is trying to do is take that pipeline that they frankly already have built in this country and add that Division I league on top of it to just give more opportunities for women's soccer players in the United States. We have a massive collegiate system, one that I came through. There's 40,000, if not more, women's soccer collegiate athletes in this country. And if you don't get drafted by one of those 14 NWSL teams, you have to go overseas to play professionally. And what the USL Super League does is just open up opportunities for all of those players to develop at home in this country and keep developing the game domestically.
Am I right in saying, though, that the USL Super League won't be having a draft system? So the NWSL has a draft system. It will continue with that. But if you were to pick up collegiate players, it would be circumstantial that they played college football, but it wouldn't be through a draft system.
Absolutely. I think you can think of it more like what you see in England, frankly. And that's, okay. I think, what we're talking about when we talk about the pipeline. And I've mentioned the USLW League, and I think this is a good time maybe for people who don't know, I can explain the structure of the USL. The USL has been around for a long time in this country, but it's been predominantly on the men's side. And recently on the women's side, they launched what they call the USL W League, which is a pre-professional league. And I'll differentiate between pre-professional and semi-professional. Pre-professional just means that it's amateur status. So to play collegiately in this country, you have to maintain an amateur status. And to play in the USLW League, you can do so. So it's not semi-pro. You're not getting any money from the teams to play for them. So recently the USL launched the W League, which has been a great in between, not only for collegiate players because it exists in the summer months, but also for players who graduated 3-4 years ago or more and want to get back into it and see what they can do maybe with their college career. And then on top of that, they created an academy. So now they have an academy, they have a pre-professional league to use as almost a bridge. And the Super League is just that final piece. So what they'll do instead of drafting is just have players in their pipeline come up through their systems and come up through their academies.
So is there a potential then, rather than this being seen as rivalry between two professional leagues, that they could work together to grow the game further, but also have some crossover? I imagine there will be some sort of cup that will be introduced and maybe you'll get the best of both leagues.
I would love that. I think that'd be a blast. I mean, maybe that's what the Challenge Cup can develop into, since it's clear we really haven't figured out really what that can be. Yeah, I think that this is absolutely a chance for the leagues to not battle with each other, but work together to truly grow this league, or excuse me, grow the sport domestically. And I think we've already seen that. There have been USLW League players that have been either signed as undrafted players to the NWSL who have decided to enter the draft after playing for the USLW League throughout their college years. So we've seen the overlap start already. And as the Super League grows, I think we're just going to continue to see that.
Is it more going to be a rival for the European leagues? You know, WSL has been going great guns. We know that the leagues in Germany, France, Spain have been accelerating. Italy's getting bigger. Is this going to be attracting those players that would have made those moves? And thinking of it from a European point of view, we used to get a lot of players that played because the calendars didn't align. We used to get them over to the WSL in the off season from the NWSL. So how do you see the impact being with Europe?
That's a great question. I think that in terms of players who come over from the NWSL, I don't necessarily think that that will change. What I think will change is historically there's been an influx of players, as I mentioned, who didn't get drafted to the NWSL, and they've decided to go play their professional soccer in Europe. And I now think that instead of going to Europe, they're going to stay in the U.S., they're going to play in the Super League, and then they'll either stay in the Super League and potentially, you know, get a look for the national team, or they'll go to the NWSL. Of course, the Super League doesn't want to be a feeder for the NWSL. They want to be on par with it. So we'll see how that ends up working out. But absolutely, in terms of Europe, so many fewer US-based athletes that will be graduating from the collegiate system will be going to Europe, because now there's an option, if you don't get drafted to the NWSL, to still stay domestically and play professionally. And that's big.
Please correct me if I've got this wrong as well, because you were talking about geographically spreading across the US states, how big the country is, trying to obviously get to different areas that haven't been touched before. But I was reading around, aren't there now going to be five teams or something ridiculous in Florida? Is that going to be the mecca of women's football?
It might just be. Yeah, they're going to add Fort Lauderdale and Tampa Bay, both of which are in Florida and already with the existing teams in Florida. There's going to be a lot. Florida's a big state, I guess, is all I have to say. There are a couple overlapping. Yeah. And it's sunny, exactly. Everybody wants to go there. And I actually think when we're talking about international movement and you look at Florida, frankly, Florida's a really big draw for players from countries from Central America and South America, and mainly also, as you mentioned, for the climate and for the culture. So I think that that's a big piece of it as well. Talking about, instead of players moving to Europe, maybe now more international players coming and getting to play in Florida.
When do you start getting drip-fed some names? We will wound this up. I could carry on talking to you about this league. But when will you start getting some names in terms of signings? Because I spoke to a few agents who deal in the UK, and some have said to me there are going to be big names going to the USL Super League. And I think that's going to be part of the appeal, isn't it? To announce with some big signings. That's what you need as a league to get underway.
I couldn't agree more. That is truly what you need. I mean, if you look at the NWSL, that's what Bay FC has done so well just to launch their own club. When I think this will happen, I don't know, but I trust in Amanda Vandervoort. She's the president of the USL, and she's been at the helm of all of this. And with every big announcement, they've made quite the splash. I think that's why they made, you know, such a big splash when they initially announced the Division One status. So when it will happen, I'm not sure, but I absolutely trust that Amanda Vandervoort and the squad will come in hot. And I think that you'll be hard pressed to not hear about it when those get announced.
And from your own point of view, because you're doing play-by-play commentary now, broadcast-wise, what do you think the deal will be? Because you mentioned about the men's side of the USL and the structure, but they've got a deal with CBS, haven't they, which would then be a conflict.
Yeah, you know, NWSL. I'm curious what it will look like also. I'm curious if the USL Super League will mirror what the USL on the men's side has going on, if they have to, or if they can make their own deals. From what I've learned, it seems like they can go ahead and make their own deals, and the people that they have in that department actually used to work in the NWSL, so they really know what they're doing. In terms of not having overlap, once again, I don't think that it's necessarily a bad thing for CBS to carry both the Super League and the NWSL. The NWSL has now spread their broadcasting across four different media partners, right? So that's Amazon Prime, CBS, ESPN, and Ion Sports. And so for them to have spread it across four different media outlets, it really, there has to be an overlap, right? Because they've spread it across so many different mainstream media outlets. So I assume that there will be. I'm curious to see who will pick it up. I do believe that it will be a major outlet, whether that's CBS. We've seen them really investing in the women's game, ESPN, or NBC Sports. And they're the ones who carry the English Premier League. I almost called it the EPL, but I know you guys don't do that over there.
You know too well what we like and don't like. We like football as well and not soccer, but hey.
Exactly. But yeah, in terms of competition, I would say it's the healthy kind and not the bad kind. And I don't envision a world in which the NWSL has written in with four of their media partners some type of exclusivity agreement.
Well, Sarah, thank you so much for your time and for giving us that insight. And for anyone who's curious and wants to know more, I'm sure you're going to be covering it on your show, The Women's Soccer Show. So keep dipping in like I do to hear Sarah on that. And thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
The Offside Rule. This is a Listening Dog Media production. Sports Social Podcast Network.